We interrupt this program to bring you a special report. We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Where do I begin? Today I want to talk to you about a Christian perspective on being chronically ill, and I'm going to deal with it from the perspective of my own chronic illness, which I've had now going on almost 3 years. I have a disease that I share in common with something like 29,000 people here in the U.S. and somewhere in the range of 1.5 million worldwide. That makes it hard to treat because in a country of 360 million, there are only 29,000 people or so. And in a world of almost, 7 or 8 billion, there are just 1.5 million people, which tells you that this disease is not going to get a lot of research money from big pharma, big medicine, the government, or anybody else. It will be 3 years in August that my disease struck. My symptoms have included paralysis, chronic pain associated with nerve damage, loss of sensation in my extremities, which is called neuropathy, and a plethora of side effects from all the medications that I'm required to take and all the treatments that I undergo. At the height of my disease, my wife, Terilyn, had to dress me for work because my fingers couldn't do the complex tasks of buttoning buttons. Tying my shoes could be a complex transaction, and taking care of myself in other ways had new complications. Simple burdens now became pleasures. I learned to miss flossing, trimming my nails, which I do now with reckless abandon because I've regained that ability. I'm still a little bit clumsy, and to the untrained eye, I may walk normally, but if you're a physical therapist or an occupational therapist or any kind of medical professional, you can see there's something wrong with me. I became a fall risk at the height of my disease. I've been on a walker, I've been on a cane, I've been in braces, occasionally a wheelchair. Now I walk without them, thank God. Once in good condition, I went from doing 200 push-ups every morning. On an average day today, I can probably do 3, sometimes up to 15, but that's after almost, a year's worth of work. With the nerve damage, I lost sensation to muscles, which caused the muscles to atrophy, and I lost a great deal of musculature. I've gone from about 190 pounds to 160, and I'm back up to 190, although I can't say it's the same 30 pounds that I lost, if you get my drift. Part of the weight gain has been assisted by steroids, which are doing my body lots of damage. For 8 months, I had to be driven around by people, chauffeured, and I'm not a guy who likes to be dependent. But people from work helped me, my wife has driven me all over the place, and for that I am eternally grateful. My treatments have been a mixed bag. For the first 18 months or so, they failed and I declined. And their side effects, let's just say they weren't pleasant. My fingernails turned to paper and would painfully snap off, growing back and grown. Medical treatments and their side effects blistered the skin on the palms of my hands off twice with something like second-degree burns from my ankles to my neck and onto my scalp, but mercifully not my face. I developed small blisters which, for whatever reason, again, didn't show up on my face. Things weren't looking so good. My disease and condition is not terminal, but the treatments can have side effects and in some cases be fatal over time in and of themselves. That said, I did not miss a lot of pulpit time. I missed 8 sermons in almost 2.5 years, and I was able to work regularly and see people, and I'm grateful for that. There were benefits to my condition. My handicap parking placard got me fabulous parking places. Show up to fly in a wheelchair and you get the VIP treatment. You get shuttled across airports. You get great seats at concerts and plays. But all kidding aside, you have to maintain a sense of humor. People talk to you like you're deaf. They talk to you loudly sometimes. I once had a man praise me for working the combination lock on the men's room at Pete's Coffee because he thought the way that I walked, I was mentally deficient. There was a side of me, a sinful side of me, that wanted to play along just to see how far this would go. This illness has taught me a lot about my body because I've had just about every kind of medical test that you can imagine. Blood tests for 10 different types of cancer because there's a type of cancer, an occult cancer, that mimics my disease. I've had genetic tests, MRIs, CT scans, ultrasounds, x-rays, you name it, and I've just about had it. I even had half of my thyroid removed just in case that was part of the problem, and it wasn't, so now I'm down half a thyroid. Then there's the drugs and all their side effects. I take steroids. I take another drug that destroys my immune system, my T cells, taking me perilously close to a condition not unlike AIDS, although it's not contagious because it's mechanically induced. But know that I am severely immunocompromised as a result of my treatments. I'll begin taking another immunosuppressant, which will suppress or destroy my B cells, and this will leave me with a very primitive immunity. Other drugs I've been taking or been subjected to give me lymphedema, swelling like in my ankles and legs, and I have had to wear those big socks that kind of squeeze things that you see people wearing. With all the peculiar sensations and side effects, it's almost like I'm living in somebody else's body. Like the movie Avatar, when the guy goes into that blue body and he kind of staggers around until he learns how to navigate in it. Were it not my body, and were I not being the observer subjected to all this, it would be a fascinating study. But it is my body, it is my pain, and it is my discomfort, and I can't say I enjoy it a whole lot. I'm interrupting the podcast schedule for a very special reason. It seems I've been on steroids for too long, and they're doing damage to my skin, my bones, and my internal organs, and so it's time to get me off, and I have to begin a new series of treatment protocols. And with those protocols come new side effects, new opportunities, new experiences, not all that pleasant all the time. So I'm in a period of reflection and decision right now, and so I thought, as a pastor and as a Christian, I would share my ruminations with you from a Christian perspective. As I mentioned before, I'm in pain, not overwhelming pain, but it's 24/7. It's a nagging pain, and it's no fun. And I can't remember if I mentioned it before, but I go to an oncology clinic every 4 weeks, and I receive infusions, 3 hours, 3 hours, and 2 hours, to download an immune system to keep me going, to keep me protected. With all these drugs destroying my immune system, I could catch the flu, I could catch pneumonia, and that could be it. And so I download an immune system. It's really interesting. I have to go to an oncology clinic, even though I don't have cancer, but that's where they administer chemotherapy, and they administer this IVIG to me, this intravenous immunoglobulin, I can't even pronounce it, treatment, where I receive the immune systems of up to 500 people, the antibodies from all the diseases that they've gotten, their natural immunity being the best kind. And I think this is where I really get a sense of perspective, because once a month for 3 days, I'm sitting with people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, what have you, all receiving chemotherapy, some getting better, some getting worse. I watch them fade and die over time. We all undergo the same procedure. We take pre-meds to prevent us from having an anaphylactic shock from the drugs that they put in us. And so we take Zyrtec and Tylenol. Somehow that prevents that. And then we wait 30 minutes and then we receive our infusions. But even with those precautions, I've seen people go into anaphylactic shock. I've seen people code. I've seen nurses and technicians administer CPR for up to 2 to 3 minutes, waiting for the Marines to arrive. And they revive the person. They bring them back from the edge of death. It's quite the experience. It's a sobering experience, actually. And to be honest, it reminds me of how good I really have it right now. Speaking of that, I had someone come up to me one time and say to me, as I was plugged into my IV with no place to go, "So you're a Christian, you're a Christian pastor. So where's your God? Why are you here?" And I remember thinking, oh boy, I've got a captive audience, because everybody's plugged into something somewhere. They've got nowhere to go. I'm not supposed to talk about these things, but this person asked me this question in public, so I'm going to answer it in public. And so I explained the reason why things are the way things are, that sin and death entered into the world and spread to all people because all people sin, but God sent his one and only Son to die for our sin, to give us eternal life, not to judge the world, but to redeem it, and that this gift is offered to all people, no matter who they are, and that sin and suffering are symptoms of our need for redemption. Kind of like chest pain is for a heart patient. It tells them they need help, and suffering and sin tells us that we need God, and is one of the means with which he points us to himself. I was able to tell them that this is a gift from a loving God who would have none perish, but all come to knowledge of him and eternal life. And so I had the opportunity to explain the faith, my cause for hope. my cause for contentment. When I come in to get plugged in, I bring my laptop. I have them put the IVs in the tops of my forearms so I can work and be productive. And I try to always come in with a chipper attitude. I'm mindful that I'm always bearing witness for Christ. And so what I'm trying to talk to you about today, in a very real and personal sense, are the blessings of a chronic illness like mine. In my case, it's incurable, but not terminal, but things could be worse, and I'm grateful. But I'm reminded, as it says in the book of James, count it all joy whenever you encounter various and sundry trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that testing leave you adequate and complete, lacking in nothing. These trials are sent to strengthen our faith, to give us opportunities to trust God, because we know God. We know the character of God. We know that He really, really does cause all things to work together for good, even though from our earthly, temporal, and painful perspective sometimes, we can't see that as clearly. We can't see the forest for the trees, that there is this larger redemptive picture that we're a part of, that we've been blessed to be given a role in and to participate in. Let me be clear, however, I wouldn't wish this role on anyone, and there are roles of suffering greater than my own that I really don't want to experience. But I know the character of God, and I know that He's good. I know that this is perhaps the thorn in my flesh to keep me humble, to keep me focused on Him, to learn the secret of contentment in whatever circumstance I find myself in, to keep me prayerful. And so this hardship, this trial, has been an educational experience to teach me the appreciation for God, Jesus Christ, and His grace that was offered me, and to appreciate life. And I'm thankful for the way that God has prepared me for this. I look at my daughter's own suffering over 7.5 years. I learned a lot from her that prepared me for this lesser suffering that I experience now. I've learned patience and empathy, and I hope I've become a little more graceful. I've learned thanksgiving, as my sons-in-law in the early days and the most severest levels of my illness helped me go up and down the stairs at my townhome. I now live in a much smaller apartment with no stairs. I've learned to be appreciative of my wife's skills and patience as she's prepared me healthy meals prescribed by a naturopath in Paris, France, who has been helpful in regulating my diet and keeping me strong. My wife, Terry, has encouraged me all over the place. My girls have prayed for me. My sons-in-law have blessed me. And I've come to appreciate that even as what Satan may have meant for evil, God has intended for good to preserve me and others through the example, hopefully, that I've been able to set at some small level through my illness. In kind of a Genesis 50:20 way, I've learned how good I have it. And to be honest, I have made somewhat of a remarkable recovery due to the hard work of my neurologists and another team of neurologists. My nerve damage is permanent. My autoimmune disease is incurable. But so many more people have it far more difficult than I. And I'm reminded that there is no such thing as randomness on this earth. Everything is purposeful. So I know that God is doing something through me, as insignificant as I am. You know, and I've learned a lot more about prayer for certain. I've learned the meaning of what it says in Romans 5, that we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. God has never disappointed me in this trial and in this hardship, and all along the way, He has blessed me with words of encouragement from the people of Hillside Church, from the people of other churches where I've ministered, from my friends, from all kinds of people who've shown love to us, who have helped us in this trial. In them, I've seen the goodness of God made manifest. I've seen the goodness of God made manifest in the birth of my first grandchild, Sadie Josephine Stewart, in Savannah, Georgia. I've learned to see my disease and its symptoms and its pain as a call to prayer. And so what I want to say to you is this. It's not for me to judge how you manage your suffering or anything else. Some people suffer far more greater hardship than I do. I just want to encourage you that leaning in and leaning on God can sustain you in the most difficult of times. I want to encourage you at the fact that your suffering is not wasted, it's purposeful. And I want to remind you, if you are a Christian, you have the body of Christ, your church family to lean on. You have the Spirit of God to guide you through and read the Psalms and understand the Word of God. And look at your suffering through the lens of Scripture and the mind of Christ. There is hope in suffering, because one day I will leave this earth, I will leave this body behind, and I will get a new body. And in an eternity, my short lifetime is like an eye blink. God has really not asked much of me. He's done so much for me, and I am so grateful to him and to you for listening. I hope today you found some encouragement in what I said. I apologize if I've offended you. Please pray for me, and I think I've done enough rambling for now. Thank you for listening to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host. If you have any questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. Please share this with your friends. We would like to reach more people with this podcast. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Give us a favorable rating. This is Keith Crosby saying God bless you and God keep you.